Well, good morning. This is Pastor Stolz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. Our scripture lessons for this morning will be the following. Deuteronomy 32, 39 to 40. Ephesians 3, 13 to 21. Luke 7, 11, 17. And the closing hymn, 4:16. I just have one announcement. I'm beginning the first Sunday in October, October 4th, we will be going back to the two services on Sunday, Zion at 8:30 and Emmanuel at 10:30. And we will still continue to record the Sunday services for those who are unable to attend. And we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit increase in us the true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. And let us pray. Lord, we pray thee that thy grace may always go before and follow after us, and make us continually to be given to good works. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32, verses 39 to 40. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. So far. The Epistle, Ephesians chapter 3, 13 to 21. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all of ages, world without end. Amen. This morning's gospel, which is the basis for my sermon, is recorded in St. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. And it came to pass the day after that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh unto the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And then he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And then he said to the young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And then Jesus delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region round about. So far. Centuries ago, when Julius Caesar was successful in one of his military campaigns, he said to have sent this brief, famous dispatch to Rome, I came, I saw, I conquered. And in a way, those words were his life's motto. It was under Julius Caesar that the ancient Roman Empire found its birth and experienced its growth and social advancement. But it's interesting to note that Julius Caesar and Jesus Christ were nearly contemporaries. Caesar was assassinated a mere 40 years before Christ was born. But they were similar in other ways also. They both set out to build a kingdom, and they were both successful in their ventures. Both were put to death for the good of the people. And for 2,000 years, they have remained popular figures in history and literature and art. Yet in many ways, Julius Caesar and Jesus Christ were worlds apart. Caesar was born among noblemen, Christ among peasants. Caesar built his kingdom at the sacrifice of other men. Christ built his at the sacrifice of himself. Caesar ruled with death. Christ rules against death. Caesar died and was buried, and his kingdom died and was buried. Christ died and he was buried, but came to life again. And his kingdom not only exists today, but will remain throughout all of eternity. Again, Caesar's motto was properly put in the past tense. I came, I saw, I conquered. Christ could have had the same motto with one exception. His must always be put in the present tense. I come, I see, I conquer. A vital part of the Christian confession has always been that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Whenever we read an account from the life of Christ, such as the one in this morning's gospel, we seldom give thought to such incidental phrases such as, Jesus went to a town named Nain. They do little more than show the steps of Christ, with no real great importance or interest. But consider for a moment the significance of that phrase. Archaeologists tell us that Nain was an unimportant small town. Its only claim to fame, the only reason its name should be remembered for 2,000 years, seems to be that Christ went there. That's it. From the historical side, earthly kings seldom make towns important. Towns usually make them important. Julius Caesar, like other great monarchs, was seldom concerned about little towns or their little people. But Jesus went to a town named Nain, because he is not just the savior of the world. He's the savior of the citizens in an unimportant town named Nain, the savior of a seemingly unimportant widow and her unimportant son. To this very day, Christ comes to our towns. He comes in his word and his sacraments. He comes to build his kingdom among seemingly unimportant people and their unimportant children. I'm sure it was a little uncomfortable for the disciples that just as Jesus arrived at the gate of the town, a funeral procession was coming out. Kingdom builders are usually not interested in unpleasant things. When they tour their conquered territory, they have little desire to see either the slums or the cemeteries. As a matter of fact, their aides will make every attempt to see that their visit is pleasant, filled with important matters. But Jesus walks directly to the funeral procession, as if this were his purpose to visit Nain. You see, he comes not for the living and the vibrant, but he comes for the sick. He comes for the decaying. He comes for the dead. Likewise, Christ comes to us. He comes to us not to be pampered and, you know, in a comfortable carpeted church where we put on our Sunday best in an effort to entertain him. No. He comes through word and sacrament to meet us in our sinful lives, to meet us in our sinful lives. We read, the dead man was the only son of a woman who was a widow. The Lord saw her. That's why he came. He is interested in the loneliness of a woman who had been isolated by the death of her son. He said to her, don't cry. And then he walked over and touched the coffin and said to the young man, "Get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And then Jesus gave him back to his mother. To earthly kings, death has often been a friend. Its threat has maintained their power, using it as a tool to enlarge their kingdom. But Christ ruled against death. He has trampled death because death is the result of man's separation from him. Death itself was destroyed. To conquer death, Christ took on the sin and death personally. His victory cry to us is, "Because I live, you also will live." Now there was joy in the little town of Nain that day because Christ restored the life and gave a son back to his widowed mother. But there is far greater joy in knowing that Christ has given us back to our Heavenly Father. His forgiveness of our sins, the conquering of death, are the elements that reestablish the broken bond between us and God. "Hail Caesar," was the cry of the people at his arrival. Yet few could approach him. Thousands trembled in fear at the sound of his name. But Caesar died. The Roman Empire died, along with the "Hail Caesar." Meanwhile, Jesus, King of Kings, continues in his quiet way. He comes to our unimportant towns, our unimportant lives. He comes to our funerals and the decay of our sinful lives. He shares our grief. He gives us everlasting life and an inheritance in his eternal kingdom. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And we can join in with those unimportant people in that unimportant town of Nain when they cried out, "God has come to save his people." Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course to and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide to the very end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Closing hymn 416.